Hallelujah, glory to God. Give you all the praise, Lord. We stand in awe and reverence of you, Lord. We declare that you alone are God. There could be many lords and many gods on the face of the earth, but to us there's one God, the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you are to us and all that you've done for us. Thank you because even as we take a purposeful gaze into your word again, our hearts are strengthened, minds are renewed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Zeal is rekindled for service. We honor your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name we prayed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome to church. Have your seat. Have your seat. If you're in your house, in the kitchen, doing dishes, go and get a seat. Watching movies by the side, get a seat. Turn off that TV and listen to the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Suspend all WhatsApp activities and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And let's build the word of God with the right attitude. Hallelujah. Turn with me your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 again. Studies in Galatians. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Galatians in chapter 5 and verse 16, Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, when Paul said this, I said last week, that Paul meant that we should preoccupy ourselves with the gospel. The word walk in this place means to preoccupy yourself with something. This is not telling you to try to act in the Spirit. Amen. How to act in the Spirit. A walk in the Spirit is also not some funny, weird and strange, you know, gesture or gesticulation. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit speaks of a disposition you ought to have to God's word. A disposition you should maintain towards the gospel. Be preoccupied with the Spirit. It's the same thing Paul was saying at Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ Jesus, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Because before there can be acting and behaving and conducting yourself like Jesus, you must focus on Christ. In the gospel, we look to Jesus to live. Hallelujah. We look to Jesus to what? Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The author and finisher of faith. So, from start to finish, we got saved by looking unto Christ. We are going to keep growing in the faith as we keep beholding Him. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. You have to consider those things. Pay attention to those things. So, we look at Jesus to live as believers today. Hallelujah. So, a walk in the Spirit is focusing on the gospel. In that focusing on the gospel, you don't see yourself. You don't see your self-effort. You are not seeing yourself trying to merit God. You are seeing all of God's actions and disposition towards you in Christ. Hallelujah. That's what you see in a walk in the Spirit. God's disposition towards you. You don't see your deficiency. You see Christ's sufficiency. Hallelujah. You don't see your demerit, you see the merit of Christ. When you focus on the gospel, you are not seeing self. Hallelujah. You are not seeing yourself. What are you seeing? You are seeing Christ. So it's a walk in that will now empower you, enable you to not fulfill the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now at verse 19, Bible says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you before, and that, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, those characters, those conducts, are not produced by the law. Bible says in Romans chapter 7, how that the law is good and spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. However, those characters are strengthened when a man focuses on laws. The more you want to try to do, the more you find out you cannot do. Romans 7 is such a classic chapter of the Bible that explains this point. Hallelujah. The sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members. So the law strengthens the activities of the flesh. Because in the law, you don't see Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't see Christ in the law. You see yourself. You see self-effort. What you should do. How much you should do. You are trying to earn the acceptance of God by what you do. So, you cannot walk above the lust of the flesh if you focus on the law. If you focus on legalism. So, the way to see verse 19 is that it is a product of devotion to the law. Like I said last week, a man that is keeping the law, trying to follow the law, and a man that is altogether lawless, they are the same. Hallelujah. If a man says, I don't send the law, I'll just live anyhow. And a man says, I want to serve God by the law, they will arrive at the same point. Praise God. Lasciviousness and legalism will get the same result. Hallelujah. Because nobody can fulfill the demands of the law by self-effort. Bible says in James chapter 2 verse 10, he who keeps the law in every point and stumbles in one point is guilty of all. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, we look to Jesus to live his life. We look to Jesus to receive that life. And we also look to Jesus to live that life. The Bible teaches that Jesus is our example. 1 John chapter 2, Christ is our example. And today I want to dwell on this part of the Bible to really explain the fruit of the Spirit. It is not a mystery. Hallelujah. I've heard some people say, the fruit of the Spirit, you have love. Just act in love. Just, that's not the idea. You can't disconnect the fruit of the Spirit from verse 16. It is a result of what you focus on. A result or a product of your meditation. So I don't just look at the Christian and say, act in love. I feed the believer with the knowledge of Christ and it motivates him to begin to love others. So the action is an overflow of the state of your mind. Hallelujah. It's a noble instruction to say, walk in love. But if this is all we are saying to believers, it's as good as ministering the law to them. Because the power to act out that instruction is found when a man focuses on the revelation of God's love to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself to also do what? To walk as he walks. So Jesus is our what? Our example. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. What does he say? Let's get there. 1 Peter 2 21. Jesus left us an example to walk in his steps. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So Jesus is first to us and what? An example. Glory to God. So whatever he is going to instruct you to do, he has done to you. Whatever Jesus is going to tell you to do for others, he has done for you. Praise God. Are you following this? Whatever Jesus will tell you to do for others, he has done for you. Whatever he tells you to do to others, he has extended to you in his gospel. Hallelujah. So, the fruit of the Spirit is God's disposition to us. It is Christ's example. It is his love. Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is the love of Christ to us. When we focus on that, it now becomes our own way of relating with others also. So everything that Jesus says you should do for others, he has done for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, humans are designed intricately. Humans are designed to be creatures of imitation. Hallelujah. Imitation. That's why if you go away from godly influence, there is no middle ground. You will pick up contrary influences, evil influences, ungodly associations, because we are designed to follow. Praise God. We are designed to imitate. Hallelujah. So the man that does not walk in Christ will be conformed to what? The world. There will never be a middle ground. Yeah, I'm not imitating anybody. No, you will always find yourself imitating something. Hallelujah. You find yourself copying a particular lifestyle. It can be yours in Christ. It can be that of the world. So Jesus is for us an example, a pattern. The life we are expected to live has been demonstrated to us in the gospel. Hallelujah. So, the fruit of the Spirit is the love of God. It is His disposition towards us in Christ. Look at how the Bible preaches this. Luke's Gospel chapter 6, in verse 35 to 36. Luke's Gospel 6, 35 to 36. So Jesus is an example to us. God, Christ, one and the same, is an example to us on how we ought to live. Luke chapter 6, and verse 35 to 36. Are we there now? Hallelujah. Let's read together. Bible says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is what? Is merciful." Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians. Sorry. Look at John 13, verse 34. So Jesus is first an example to the believer. The conduct of the Spirit required of you is that which Jesus has shown you. Hallelujah. John 13 and verse 34. Glory to God. Look at this now. Jesus speaking. Bible says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one as I have what? Loved you." There's an example. So the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is Jesus' example to us. We learn to walk in love as we focus on His love for us. John 15, can this also? John chapter 15, verse 12 to 13. Glory, hallelujah. John 15, 12 to 13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." This is my commandment, that you love one another exactly the same way I have loved you. So God is not just telling us to do things, He has displayed and demonstrated the same to us. So we begin to live for Jesus because Jesus lived for us. Hallelujah. We begin to live as Christ because Jesus has shown us how to live. He has set a pattern, an example. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's so amazing that legalistic doctrines require men to live for Jesus and live like Jesus without showing them the example of Jesus. That is what is missing in legality. You will never see the example of what you are told to do. We live right, do this, do that. Just rules and rules and commandments and instructions, and Christ is not set forth before you as your example. Praise God. So you don't see yourself as one who is a recipient of all He is told to give. You are seeing yourself as the source. It's beginning with you. You are the one to learn to do right. No, but God did right towards you first. Hallelujah. God was good to you first. Christ has been kind to you first. So extend the same to who? To others. Hallelujah. Extend the same to who? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Glory to God. Ephesians 4, 32. Look at how Paul says it here. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 32. Hallelujah. Bible says, from verse 32, Bible says, "And be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So you are going to mirror to others what you have received. You are going to model to others that which you have seen in Christ. Exactly as you have been forgiven. Now, people who don't enjoy, who have not come to enjoy and come to begin to focus and dwell on the love of God for them and the forgiveness offered them in Christ, find it difficult to forgive others. Hallelujah. Find it very difficult. I mean, is that not the same reason why today people have found it difficult to accept that instruction, love your enemies? Do you get it? It's so hard. No. Bible does not say we should not pray against our enemies. It just says pray for your enemies. It didn't specify the kind of prayer. It's English language problem. Pray for. Hallelujah. It's already specified. Pray for your enemy. Cannot be pray against. If I pray for your death, am I praying for you? So, but you know, it's the difficulty. They can't. Don't we love our enemies? But if you understand that while we were still sinners, hallelujah, Christ died for us. Even when we were enemies of God, when that revelation dawns on you, you love your enemies. Hallelujah. So when men do not see a pattern, an example that has been shown them already, they can't extend the same to others. It's difficult. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 1. We are creatures of imitation. Till the end of time, you'll be an imitator. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and do what? And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 3 and verse 4 is catered for by the instruction of verse 1 and 2. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. The man that walks in love would walk over all these issues. Walk in the spirit and you shall not do what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't fornicate because, I mean, when you come into that realization of God's love and you begin to love others the way you have been loved, it will instruct your lifestyle. Hallelujah. It will instruct you. You don't want to defy somebody else. You don't want to be a party to another person's, you know, slowness in progress as touching the things of the faith. You won't covet. Praise God. The love of it will just control your activities. Hallelujah. So, obeying the first instruction of imitating God, of following his pattern, is what will solve the issue of, you know, fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness and the like. Praise God. Look at this other place. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Hallelujah. Bible says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must what? Must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So Christ is an example to us. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Praise God. You know, when we tell people to forgive, and we don't add that clause of as you have been forgiven, they don't know how to forgive. Forgive your brother. I've forgiven you. Praise God. I've forgiven him. You shall not come to my house again. You'll be, praise God. I've forgiven him, but he must not. I don't want to see him again. I don't want to set my sight on him again. But when you say forgive as God in Christ, you already know how. Because forgiveness in Christ is reconciliation. So there's nothing like I've forgiven him, but I don't want to see him again. God forgave us and brought us to himself. So that is forgiveness. If we don't show them an example, they can't know how to do it. Praise God. I stopped all those nonsense. I don't have any one person that I've said I don't want to see again. Praise God. Not one person, but I don't want to have anything to do with him again. It will never get to that. When you understand how you have been forgiven. Glory to God. I don't ever want to set my eyes on him again. If that was how God forgave you, would you be here? Glory to God. I've forgiven them, but I don't want to have anything to do with them. That's not it. So the example and the pattern is very important. You see it, and as you see it, and you dwell on it, it becomes your own lifestyle. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What if somebody raped me? What if somebody beheads my father? What if somebody steals my fortune or my glory? Praise God. How do they even steal glory? Praise God. What if the what if can be endless? The instruction is the same. Forgive as God in Christ forgave you. Hallelujah. It's the same instruction. Hallelujah. Many times we like to forgive little wrongs. Amen. Very little wrongs. Okay. It's small thing. Let it go. Because it's a small thing. Hallelujah. Somebody presses your phone behind you. Not forgiving you. It's a small thing. Another person steals the phone. You catch the person and say, bring tire. Praise God. Bring tire. I want to by Louis Jerry. We have to end this evil today. Jungle justice. Hallelujah. There are Christians who participate in jungle justice. You catch a thief, you lynch the person. Hallelujah. You say, brother, can't you walk in the love of God? No. Praise God. This man is a crime. Hallelujah. Jesus forgave things. This is a crime. Praise God. Now, are you the law enforcement agent? Praise God. Find it difficult. Because it has not dawned on them that they are a recipient of God's magnanimous grace. Hallelujah. God has done something for you. If God were to deal with you based on how you are dealing with others, you are gone. So as you behold his example, it will instruct you on how to live. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. It is better to get into one corner and cry. And cry because you've been deeply hurt and say, I choose to forgive. Than to say, whoa, scriptures aside. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's better to say, this thing is painful. So we have to forgive this guy. Jesus. It grieves you. You really want to do something. Hallelujah. Because that's the stage. It's a sign you have not really grown to understand it. But it is better to react that way. It is better to be deeply pained. And you are, God. And then you get over it. And you move on. Than to say, no. I'm at your J. Kuro no Jesus. Praise God. That's how some people are. At your J. Kuro no Jesus. Some people hang their Christian garments at the door as they are stepping out of the church building. They have come to church. They are great. They are good. Men, you want to marry them. Praise God. The moment they step out of church like this, they just drop the garment. They're coming back next week to pick it. Because everything outside the church is the opposite of who you know in church. Praise God. Such men have not come to understand what Christ has done for them. It has not dawned on them to a point where it has begun to instruct the lifestyle that they are meant to show forth as believers. Glory be to God. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Hallelujah. 1 John 3, 16 to 17. By this we know love. By this we know what? Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. By this we know love. Say to your neighbor, by this we know love. Say to your neighbor, you don't know love outside the context of Jesus' sacrifice for you. By this, we know love. Hallelujah. So the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is first God's example to us. It is by this we understand the love of God. Hallelujah. And we ought also, so you see, that he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. So his own example of laying down his life for us, and then we now learn to lay down our lives for the brethren. Glory to God. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide on him? That is the knowledge of that love. Amen. Not that you see a believer who is stingy. You say, Ele, you're born again. Praise God. It's not that the man has not received the love of God. It means the knowledge of that love is not dwelling in him richly. Praise God. The knowledge, the revelation of that love, that Jesus has laid down his life for us, it hasn't dawned on him. Hallelujah. And I put it to you, when people say, I know it, and they are not showing it, it has not dawned on them. That which you think you know, that is not a part of your life and experience, you don't know it. Glory to God. Let's forgive. Whoa, we all know these things. No, 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 you don't. Sit down now. Let me teach you. Hallelujah. Let me walk you through scriptures all over again. If you understand it, you will not say, we all know, we all know, we all know, and you will dismiss it. No. If you know forgiveness, you will forgive. A man that understands forgiveness will not explain it away. We will not say we have to forgive, but this one, even God cannot beg me. You know, some people have the effrontery and the guts to say such things. Hallelujah. Some folks will say, forgive. Forgive as God has loved us. Only Jesus can beg me. Only Jesus can change my mind. Well, this is Jesus. What I just quoted to you is Jesus. Hallelujah. But what they are expecting is that Jesus will come, walk into their room, and sit there and say, oh, mom, my friend, see, this thing you are doing is not good. Praise God. Learn to forgive. Amen. There's also an ungodly way of teaching it. When you forgive, it's yourself you are doing good. If you don't forgive, you'll be nothing bitterness. It will hurt you. It will dry your bone. It will kinika. So if I say, it's true, I will forgive. That's not forgiveness. Hallelujah. Do you know that some people will not forgive you? They will not suffer anything. Some people will not forgive you, and they will be enjoying it. They are so wicked. But it's an ungodly way of preaching it. Because, you are not correcting the selfishness in that person. You are still appealing to that selfishness. That it is for your sake. No, it is not for my sake. Praise God. It is not for my sake. It is for the sake of others. Hallelujah. It's so bad. See, I can forgive you and then it grieves me. It's painful that I have to let it go. Because in forgiveness, it means I'm not seeking that you amend or correct the wrong. How do we seek to correct the wrong, like somebody who maybe stole your car and has sold it and has spent all the money? How do you correct it? You can go and look for the money. Okay, how do we correct the wrong? Somebody who killed your brother. Hallelujah. Lazarus, comfort. Praise God. You must raise him. How do we? So you see, some forgiveness, when you forgive and you let go, the hurt is not gone. The pain is there that you lost somebody. You lost someone. But forgiveness is for the sake of the person. You restore the person. Hallelujah. And you let it go. Glory to God. And you don't refer to it again. Not that you are now waiting. Any small thing. Bible falls from his hand. That's how you did that day. Praise God. Lying in wait. Hallelujah. You know, when they say, this guy is so careless. He has broken different things. He has broken plates in Jesus. His Bible falls down mistakenly. You see, he has started again. You are just referring to, that's not forgiveness. And we preach that God does not impute sin. If God marks iniquities, we shall stand. Love covers the multitude of sins. Hey, he has taken it away, your sins and your iniquities. I remember no more. But we remember people's sins. Glory to God. It's growth. Growth will correct all those things. And this growth will not happen until you focus on God's love for you. You understand it well. Hallelujah. I remember saying to somebody, we're talking, and then the person said, have I offended you before? I said, most likely. He said, do you remember? I said, I can't remember. He said, you can't mean it. I said, I'm serious. You think if I remember everything, you think it will be related? Praise God. I can't remember. Hallelujah. For instance, in my family, I'm sure we have offended ourselves. Right now, I have to sit down to remember it. Do you get what I'm saying? I have to sit down to try to remember how we offended ourselves. You can forgive, but you cannot forget. You can't forget. There's nothing like that. Do you know there are many things you've forgotten? Praise God. There are many things you've forgotten. Forgetting it does not mean it's deleted from your memory. It is not in your mind. Glory to God. That is, it is not in your consciousness. When you see the person, that is not the first thing you remember. It has become buried. It has become an unuseful information. Many things like that you've forgotten, they are not relevant to you anymore. That's why you've forgotten them. So you can forget. And I'm not saying try to forget. You will just forget. Hallelujah. You just forget. Walk in love. Hallelujah. Look at this other place. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. 1 John 4, 9 to 11. Bible says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into this world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, let us, we also ought to do what? To love one another. So Jesus is example first. And then that instructs us on how to conduct ourselves. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it is as we behold his example that we begin to walk in the same. This is what legalism takes away from you, like I said. It takes away the example of Christ. Hallelujah. It takes away Jesus' example. And then you begin to try to fathom or try to know how to walk in these things. Amen. You know, that's the reason. That's the same reason why some people do not understand gentleness till tomorrow. Because the gentleness is not explained or defined to them. They can't see that gentleness as Jesus' character. So they would rather adopt a culturally fitting kind of gentleness. Amen. You see somebody preaching false teaching? Well, don't let's argue. Praise God. I can't argue. I'm a gentle person. You are not gentle. This is not Jesus' gentleness. Praise God. You should ask yourself, Jesus was a gentleman. Yet, see the kind of interactions he had with the Pharisees. See the way he resisted them. Hallelujah. Gentle Jesus walked into the temple, scattered table. Hallelujah. Took away the money changers. But he was gentle. Wasn't he gentle? In fact, Isaiah says his voice will not be heard in the streets. It was not quarrelsome. So if you don't understand it from the angle of Jesus' character, you will have a false conduct and you pride yourself in it. I'm so gentle. Praise God. Was Paul not gentle? You don't define this fruit of the Spirit by culture or moral ethics. It is a display of Jesus' own conduct to us, and we learn from the same. Hallelujah. A walk in love can only be understood from Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Back in the day, I used to feel guilty when maybe I discuss scripture with somebody and we argue, get into, you know, serious arguments and it's heated and all that, and somebody says, and you're a Christian. See the way you're arguing. Praise God. But as I matured in the faith, I just understood it. Because, see, the truth is, the moment I'm done arguing with you, it is over. Whatever it we generated in the conversation dies with it. Go and think about it. Go and think about it. Immediately we can be drinking together and eating together and seeing movies. Do you understand? So, that is what we are talking about. Where the argument does not lead to becoming an enemy. Jesus resisted the Pharisees. But do you know what? He didn't hate them. He used very strong words on them. What he used, scribes and Pharisees? Hypocrites. Guess what? Many of those Pharisees were converted later. Nicodemus saw him. He was a Pharisee and he came to meet Jesus. What do you think he saw? He must have seen that, see, this guy is just saying the truth. It's not like he's against us. It's not like he hates us. He's just saying the truth. Hallelujah. Because love that does not speak the truth is hypocrisy. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in love. What are you saying to what is happening in the body of Christ? All this falsehood. What are you saying? See, let's just walk in love. Love triumphs everything. This is not love. Praise God. You don't love people if you discover that they are holding on to a false doctrine that is destructive and you are not saying anything. That's not love. I do not suppose that if you see your child walking to the road, strolling into the road with a blindfold, you say, I don't want problem. It's his life. I don't think so. Let's not even see your child, a stranger, trying to cross the railway with an earpiece. And a train is coming. I'm going to push him. Praise God. And when I push him and he wants to fight me, then he's unreasonable. Praise God. Why did you now push me like that? You should have spoken. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I still see you again tomorrow, I'll still do it like that. And if you keep fighting me, you're unreasonable. Praise God. Bible says, not all men have faith. Will be delivered from what? Unreasonable and faithless, because not all men have faith. So, many times when they fight back, it's because they're unreasonable. They are not thinking through what we are saying. Many of the arguments that we have with people should not lead into fight. I've not even said you must agree. I'm only presenting a position for you to consider. Glory to God. And I showed you this before, that arguments and strife and all that does not come from the man presenting the truth. It comes from the oppositions. Amen. It comes from the opposition. That is where it is found. Bible tells us that 1 Timothy 6. That is where it is found. Glory to God. So we understand God's own character from Him. And as we understand it from Him, from the gospel, we now extend the same to others. So don't develop a moral ethic. Some etiquette. And then you call that fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Respect, for instance, is not prostrating for people. Amen. That is not the definition of respect in the Bible. It's a cultural thing. In this place, if you refer to everybody as ma, sir, ma, it doesn't pass for respect. Do you understand? You might just be fitting into a mold, a culture. Not bad in itself, but if that is what you think now, you know, connotes respect, you are missing the point. There are deeper issues in the faith that reveal when a man is respectful or not. The way you respond to correction. Do you understand? The way you take instructions, rebukes, with all meekness. So, you prostrate till tomorrow, we correct you, you get angry, you don't come again. you don't have respect. Hallelujah. So, we have to define this fruit from the Bible. Look at this place now. So, legalism takes away this example of Jesus. And you live with the mindset of trying to impress God, rather than allowing God to impress you, so you can extend the same to others. You know, because in the gospel, the only person that impresses anybody is God. Hallelujah. In legalism, you are the one trying to impress God and to impress others. In the gospel, God impresses you. You look at the acts of God. You look at what He has done, His love, the extent to which He went. Hallelujah. To save you. Jesus left His glory and He came on the face of the earth to die for you and I. He did not consider equality with God something to be grabbed. He humbled Himself. He died the death of the cross. Shameful death. It was our cause. It became a sin. Hallelujah. It became sin. He was rejected. He took our pain. You consider everything and you're impressed. Hallelujah. You're impressed. That's why we shout glory. Hallelujah. You see it. Glory to God. Wow. God is good. And as you are impressed, you now begin to do what? Extend it to others. Hallelujah. What is an impression? To strongly affect somebody's mind. That's what we're saying. So God impresses us. Our minds are overwhelmed by the thought of His love. And as that happens to us, we find it easy to love others as we have been loved. So the fruit of the Spirit is just one fruit, having many qualities. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. 1 Corinthians 13, just one fruit, having many qualities and many sides to it. 1 Corinthians and verse 13. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. See how Paul explains this. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods on all to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Hallelujah. Love suffers. What is suffers long? Long suffering, right? Love is kind. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. That is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Praise God. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So it is the fruit of love. Every other thing there is an attribute of the love of God. The man that loves to walk in kindness, the man that loves to walk in meekness, the man that loves to walk in will not be rude. Amen. Hallelujah. Most times when people walk in rudeness, it's as a result of the fact that they don't love the other person. Amen. You know, when you love people, you don't want to hurt them. But when you look at a man and you say, you're just rude, you don't respect the person, you're just, there's a deeper problem. Whatever you are saying and displaying is a symptom. Those you love, you don't treat them that way. Praise God. So when the love of God overwhelms our hearts, we find it difficult to be rude to people. That's the reason why you treat a conductor. You know, you treat a conductor with such respect. A conductor. Do you know that the love of God does not make distinctions? Hallelujah. Listen, that's one of the things that will set you apart quickly in the world. One day, I think a friend of mine was coming from Lagos, and then the car broke down. Everybody was shouting, you know, abusing the doctor, the driver, and all. And this guy got down, rolled his trouser, rolled his shirt, going to be dressed up well like every other person, rolled his shirt, and got busy with the man, fixing the tire. Praise God. God busy fixing the tire. No noise, no shout. You should have known. Praise God. The kind of things people say, I should have known that my tire will burst. Glory to God. Ordinarily, to allow a man buy fuel while you are in transit is a problem for many people. You want to, all these drivers, you want to buy, you should not buy fuel. Okay, what is the alternative to not having fuel? You should have bought it, Abby. It should be in the car with you. Praise God. People have to buy fuel. You also will buy fuel. Praise God. If you were to be driving your car. So people are just impatient. And then the reason why we find it easy to talk down on such people is because we don't esteem them. In the world, men are esteemed based on status, ranks. You get into an organization, you talk anyhow to the gate man. You rubbish the guy. Praise God. You see the CEO. Mommy wa. Daddy wa. That's not love. Praise God. That is what? Eye service. What that means is, if they were to switch roles, what you did to that gate man is what you'll have done to the CEO. And you'll have respected the gate man now because he's the CEO. In fact, if they switch roles immediately, you will do it. Praise God. Because it's about the favor and the help you are seeking and all that. But the love of God, you don't treat people differently. Hallelujah. You don't talk to a conductor anyhow, talk to a gate man anyhow, and then you know you are respecting the owner of the car. It's not like that. Glory to God. A funny scenario. One day, we drove into, I think, one of these local governments or hospital. And then my dad was driving. Mom was sitting at the back. I was sitting with my dad in the front. And guess what? The gate man, as my dad took down the glass, the gate man just said, okay, so please open the back for me. Because mommy was sitting in the owner's corner. He said, no, just open the back for me. So my dad, we didn't even get it. So we put down the glass at the back. He said, so madam, how are you? How are you, ma? So mommy said, he's the owner of the car. He went, sorry. Inigo was now talking with daddy carefully. I'm like, That's what's in the world. And many Christians carry on with that same orientation. Love does not behave itself rudely. Love is not proud. Love thinks no evil. You know, the love of God corrects us. Hallelujah. Corrects you. It is not you trying to pick up that conduct. The more you build the love of God, it will just calm your nerves. Hallelujah. It will calm what? Your nerves. Your aggression will just begin to die. Glory to God. And I said it last week, whatever people display to others is a reflection of what is going on in them. Amen. Those who hate others, the condition of their mind is that nobody loves them. Those who are very bitter, go and check them very well. They think everybody is against them. Nobody can understand. Hallelujah. So bitter. Those who are jealous, they have a mindset that this person is doing better than me. They are a product of thoughts, mindsets. Hallelujah. And those are the things that are buried when you focus on the gospel. And I said to you last week, the Lord promotes those competition, rivalry. He promotes it. Everybody is trying to outdo one another, outwit ourselves. So the works of the flesh will not die with the focus on the law at all. It will be strengthened. A rivalry spirit, competition. Glory to God. So the fruit of the Spirit is one, and that is what God has displayed towards us in Christ. Romans chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. Isn't it beautiful to know that we live by just looking at Jesus? Hallelujah. We are just looking at Him. I'm looking at Him. Do you know that your first attitude come from your parents? Do you understand this? As a child, as you were growing up, the way you began to behave at first came from your parents. You just begin to, some of us even walk like our parents. Beyond genes, though, influence, what you can see. While growing up, anybody that comes to our house and says, I'm sick, we lay hands. We knew nothing, we're not born again. Praise God. We're young, still growing, we lay hands on the person. Bodhi Awaka Badura, praise God. Now look at Jesus. Hallelujah. And then, because we saw that regularly with our dad, saw that regularly. One particular day, my brother went to lay hands on the TV. We're young. TV was not showing well. The solution was to buy another one. Praise God. But we are told, seen laying of hands, he went to lay hands on the TV. You will act like your parents. Glory to God. If your mother is very, 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 very insulting. Loud. You know, there are some women who are very loud. Amen. Is it they are complaining with you or complaining at you? They will hear their voices in the whole estate. Like town crier. Praise God. In fact, God. Bible says it is better to be in the forest with a lion or something. Or on the rooftop or something. Corner of the rooftop than to be in the house with a contentious woman. Glory to God. You marry a contentious woman, you are dead. Hallelujah. You will need this love of God I'm teaching. You will need it. Hallelujah. Contentious people. Say, what are we eating today? Anything. Anything. Yes, anything. Okay. Goes to prepare what he knows you cannot eat. What you don't like. Praise God. Anything should be in the context of what you already know as my like or my dislike. They bring something you don't like. Why did you do this? Didn't you say anything? Is there anything? Is there anything you said? Anything, but no. I'm not here for argument. No, you were ready for argument. Hallelujah. Contentious people. Looking for every opportunity to pick up a fight. Hallelujah. Who is that lady you were talking to at the bus stop? Lady. Yes, this afternoon. Oh, and the conductor paired us together to break change. So, why was it you they paired? They didn't see any other person to pair. Praise God. Contentious, unnecessarily riotous. Praise God. Romans chapter 5, from verse 1 to 8. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man we won't die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's his example. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not saying every time you want to forgive somebody, you will first have to say, Christ died for me. It will already be a conduct. Hallelujah. Conducts are reflections of mindset. Nobody sits down to really reason out, reactions. Some very spontaneous reactions. You don't sit down to reason out. So, mindset is formed and the reaction is a reflex action. Hallelujah. You just find yourself doing the same. Because over time, you build a mindset of, it is right to forgive those who offend us. It is right to extend love towards our enemies. The same way Jesus did the same for us. It's growth. Hallelujah. By the renewing of your mind, transformation happens. So, in transformation, you don't struggle to do. You just leave it. Hallelujah. You just leave it. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 to 8. So God's love has been shown us as an example and a pattern of how we ought to live. Ephesians chapter 2. It's in beholding that we begin to express the same. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 2, 1 to 8. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. Bible says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Verse 4, let's read together. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. God's love shown us, as we behold the same, we extend it to others. Hallelujah. So you see the evil of legality. The more you build the law and you are focused on how to please God, how to serve God, how to do this, how to be accepted and all that, you'll be distracted from your example. Hallelujah. You'll be distracted from your example and the pattern that has been shown you. And you'll now be struggling to do. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 to 19. Hallelujah. I said, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in what? In love. Hallelujah. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes that you may be filled with all. What is all the fullness of God? The love of God. Hallelujah. The fullness of God is found in his love. We have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has been shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. Hope does not disappoint. The love of God has been shed in our hearts by the giving of the Spirit. All that we have in the faith is a result of the love of God. We are forgiven. It's love. God is kind to us. It's love. God has been good to us. It's love. Hallelujah. We have been saved. Everything. See, if you dwell in this and you comprehend the width and the height and the depth and the breadth, you will be filled with all the fullness of God. It's talking about knowledge. Hallelujah. In knowledge. Because it's all an embodiment of the love of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. Even husbands are instructed to love as Christ has what? Love the church. Listen. The most important and the best and the greatest marriage seminar for the believer is the gospel. Hallelujah. The best marriage seminar for the believer is what? The gospel. Teach him every other thing. He will still not love as he's meant to love. Teach him the gospel instructs him to love his wife as Christ has loved the church. And because love has many attributes, you will find those attributes in his marriage, in his relationship. Kindness. A man that dwells on the gospel will be gentle. A man that dwells in the gospel will be kind. A man that dwells with the gospel will have long suffering, forgiveness, patience. These days, marriages are falling apart. What can we do? Let's go back to the gospel. The reason why marriages are falling apart in many places is because the foundation upon which those things are built is not the gospel of Christ. So we now start teaching people like babies. When she does this, you know, just look away. Hallelujah. An adult. When you see that he's getting angry, just stop here. Praise God. You're amazed. If he wants to see Telemundo and you want to see Champions League, don't fight. Just draw a timetable. Praise God. Know when to watch your Telemundo. You can even have two televisions. One in your room, one in his own room. You see, let's learn to coexist in love. We start teaching people like children. Hallelujah. Like children. Something that is meant to be a spontaneous response. Nobody should be teaching you how to be patient with your spouse. We now start teaching you, giving you tips. When you are angry, count 1 to 10. Oh man, have you not heard it before? Count in your mind 1 to 10. I say, breathe in and breathe. Don't breathe out by Bajuni. Hallelujah. Breathe in and breathe out. You think it is all is well? Praise God. You will slap your spouse. Say, go for a walk. Hallelujah. Oh, if a love walk, you talk grab shirt. Praise God. You want to go for a walk like this, the woman locks your t-shirt. If that is what you are banking on to avoid beating the woman, that's it. And there's no referee. Praise God. Those are spontaneous responses. Hallelujah. I should look at the way you are handling your relationship and see the wisdom of God. This man is mature in the faith. Glory to God. The love of God. Because it's a reflection of what we have received. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blame. Husbands, learn to love your wives as Christ has loved the church. This is not you trying to act it. It will be an offshoot of knowing how Christ loved the church and knowing it well. Praise God. That is, I'm not saying just go and try to love your wife. No. It's an offshoot. It's a reflection of spiritual growth. All the conduct required of the saints are an offshoot of what? Spiritual maturity. That maturity is what people do not take their time to get. And then they say the word is not working. Are you really sure you stayed with the word? till it has brought maturity. Everybody that has matured in the faith does not say the word does not work. It is only men who have not taken their time to stay with the word that always say it's not working. Your commitment has been very poor. Shoddy, unkempt. You go today, you come back, you go, you come back, you go, come and go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your spiritual life is like fluorescent that wants to start. You know how this. And then you say, God's word is not working. Can we have this kind of attitude towards every other thing and succeed? If this is how you eat on a normal day, you eat one day and then you go for 7 days. Some believers even go for 2 months, 3 months break without study. And you say, and you have the effrontery to say, God's word is not working. Hallelujah. No, just try it with food. Eat one day, don't eat 2 months. The fact that you are still alive as a Christian, amen, is the proof that Jesus says forever. Because if people die as a result of spiritual starvation, your eternal life will have been gone. Praise God. Some people, all through a year, they did not pray more than Sundays. Some people too will come and say, God's word is not working. You know, this Bible thing, you are not serious. Hallelujah. Stay with this thing 2 months, 3 months at a stretch, consistently. Let's see. Your life will change. Hallelujah. Your life will what? To change. And when your life changes, when there's a transformation, you won't be saying it with others that God's word is not working. It will affect your relationship. Hallelujah. It will affect your relationship. It will change everything. Let's stay with the word. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. So anywhere faith is preached, and faith is the dominant thing we are all learning and paying attention to, what you find is love for others as a byproduct. It's so natural. Listen, the same way we don't have to teach people how to love others, it's the same way we ought not to devote our energy and strength to teaching a husband how to love the wife. Hallelujah. I mean, let me tell you something. Nobody takes notes on how to hate people. Have you wondered before? You sit down somewhere and say, how do I hate somebody? Step one. Tip two. Tip three. It's just a reaction from your mind. If you hate people, you will show it. Nobody has to lecture you on the kind of evil things you can do. The inspiration will just be coming. Hallelujah. You don't know. The state of your mind will inspire you to do things. If you love people, there will be inspirations in the right direction. So when you see a man that hates somebody, all kinds of evil, Bible says, and every thought and imagination of their hearts were evil continually. So many of the things we try to give people, you know, to teach them, it's unnecessary. If there is love, it will inspire actions. I will look at the way you are loving the person and say, this is creative. Hallelujah. There will be inspirations. Even animals know how to love themselves. Praise God. Animals, you see how they take care of their young ones and all that. Then we now take men, start teaching them like kindergarten people. No. Let us focus on the love of God. When our minds are enriched by that fact, it will motivate us to love as we should. Praise God. Hallelujah. To motivate us to love as we should. So everywhere people focus on faith, the product is love. Naturally. Because in faith, we are looking at Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. Well, let's see Ephesians first. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. That's why for every relationship I have restored, as a man, as a pastor, every relationship, marriage that I've restored, the starting point has always been asking them questions about their devotion. Not one, listen well, not one has tested positive. We've been having it difficult to relate. We are now very, you know, we don't forgive ourselves. We are keeping records. So, how is your prayer life? Yeah, pastor, I'm busy in your praise God. You uncle, how is your prayer life? I just pray on the go. On the go. Marriage, you know, on the go. Already, you know, the Lord, the government. Praise God. Not one has tested positive. God, okay, what about commitment to God's word? I try my best. I follow a podcast. Praise God. Online. I just brisk in. I'm learning. The moment they are restored to the right commitment, everything changes. Everything changes. Hallelujah. For some of them, we even deliberately make them begin to have devotions together. Study together. I mean, after studying together and praying together, if you still go and pick stick, your case is different too. Praise God. There will be a different kind of disposition. God's word. Hallelujah. Don't address the symptom. The root is the state of their mind, which can only be formed by devotion to God's word. So, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, what the faith of Christ does is that it promotes love for men. Hallelujah. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. That is the fruit of the Spirit. In the book of Galatians, Paul was making a contrast between the law and what? And faith. If you take your focus off faith, you will struggle to love. If you put your mind on faith, the gospel, you will love others. Colossians 1, verse 3 to 8. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Since we heard of your faith and of your love because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Why did they begin to love others? Because of the hope which is laid up for them in heaven. The realities. Hallelujah. Faith in the same, promoting love for others. Praise God. In this church, how many times have we done a teaching on love? On walking in love? I think it's just one. It's been a long time. Because that's not what to dwell on. Let's walk in love. You know, when you come to church, buy biscuits. Praise God. Buy biscuits and share. Let it go around. You too, buy sweets. Praise God. Check one another. You know, if we are focusing on that, it won't yield this kind of result. Hallelujah. But if we dwell on the gospel, people will grow. It will be perfect. But people will start growing into it. And the more we focus on it, the more intense we get with the gospel, the more people will begin to love themselves. There are people who came into this church holding on to themselves. Always holding back. Some folks, you won't talk to them, they will literally flee after the service. Flee! Kilo day, what's chasing you? Now, over time, they just broke free. Hallelujah. The gospel, they just broke free. And they began to relate. Amen. It is the power in the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. So, as I beheld your faith and your love for all the saints, which came as a result of the hope that is set for you in heaven, laid up for you in heaven. Hallelujah. Which you heard before in the word of the gospel, in the word of the truth of the gospel has come to you and is also bringing forth truth in all the world. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Hallelujah. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of what? Of love. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. In fact, see this one, very apt. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. Very apt. This explains what I've been trying to say. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. Why? For you yourselves are taught by God. Hallelujah. You are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. And we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. He says, we don't need to write. As touching this brotherly love thing, you don't need that I write about it. Because you are taught by God. How does God teach us such? His example.
It's example. As you behold it,
you just love others.
Praise God. You are taught by God. It is one of the things we don't belabor. We don't try to make sure we are teaching it every time. No. Let's show them God's own attitude. God's own example and pattern. People will turn out to be loving. Praise God. People will turn out to be loving. Those who don't love have not understood God's love. When they understand it, they will love. So, we have to always go back to the root of the problem. So, the same way we've seen love, of course, I said to you, love is the fruit. Every other thing is an attribute. So, we can also work through scriptures with the exception of self-control. You can infer, with the exception of self-control, which is also God's attitude and God's character. You can find it in every other fruit. So, but in many other places, you find all those other things listed, peace, joy, you find them in the gospel. Praise God. For instance, joy and peace. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 to 14. Joy and peace is found in the gospel of Christ. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 down to 14. Hallelujah. Luke 2, 8 to 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Good tidings of what? So in the gospel, what do you see? Great joy. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in Christ, who is Christ, the Savior. Is Savior who is Christ, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, let's read together, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, peace and goodwill toward men." Hallelujah. So you find joy and peace where? In the gospel. That is what God extended to you in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 to 2. Joy and peace is in the gospel. It becomes a fruit expressed through you as you focus on the same. Hallelujah. Those who have not come to understand that they have peace with God cannot be at peace with all men. It's impossible. When you know you are at peace with God, you will learn to follow peace with all men. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and do what? And rejoice. Peace and joy in the gospel. Romans in chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. Romans 10, 13 to 15. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Hallelujah. 13 to 15. And then he says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. The gospel of what? Who bring glad tidings of what? Glad tidings, joyous tidings, or joyous tidings. And it's called the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Gospel of peace. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know, when we come to church and we listen to God's word and we express ourselves in prayer and in worship, you know, do you know you have joy? Hallelujah. You have joy. And then, you know, when people come to church and then we have all those activities, you say, I was refreshed. You see that thing you call, I was refreshed. You just were at peace. The peace that you have in Christ suddenly overwhelms your mind. You are relaxed. It's easier to love people in that state. You know, in that state, somebody will match you and then both of you will say sorry. Praise God. Did you get what I said? Somebody will step on your toes and both of you say sorry. You are no longer conscious about being offended. Praise God. How many of you have walked into somebody's, maybe somebody mistakenly hit you on the road, and both of you said sorry? It's a state of your mind. At other times, when your mind is not in a good shape, the person is walking there, you're already offended. Praise God. person is more close to you already. Praise God. I mean, it's a reflection of the state of your mind. Hallelujah. Transferred aggression. When you see the reactions that come from such things, you notice it's beyond what happened. Hallelujah. It's beyond what happened. Nobody steps on you. No. Bye-bye there, my bye. Praise God. On top, accidentally marching on your feet. No. There's a deeper problem. Praise God. Watch it very well. Maybe he just had a rift with his spouse in the house. And then he left house in anger. You know, some people, there is disaster waiting to happen. A ticking time bomb. Anybody that crosses their path, then transfer the aggression. Hallelujah. But when a mind is focused on the gospel, you will exhibit everything you just saw in it. You will exhibit it. Hallelujah. Romans in chapter 15, verse 13. Look at this one. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Have you seen that? Fill you with what? Joy and peace in believing. That is, in your faith, you find joy and peace. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Hallelujah. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you. How does God give peace? By focusing your mind on what he has done. Focusing your mind on him. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So that peace is from God. And that is what you now extend to others. That guy is just so peaceful. That guy is just a peaceable person. That guy is, you know, he cannot keep malice. That's what you saw in Christ. Hallelujah. It has taken over your mindset to a point where that is the only thing you can give. Hallelujah. So, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see God is a call to spiritual growth. As you grow, you are then able to exhibit that peace to others in that love and holiness, and others are able to see that and see God through your actions. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at what happened at Acts chapter 8. As Philip went to Samaria to preach the gospel, see what happened in that city. Acts of Apostles chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. Don't you just love the word of God? Hallelujah. See, the greatest miracle that has happened to us, listen, is transformed lives. That's the greatest. Transformed lives. See, you can tell me, I don't believe in God. I've never seen a miracle before. The day your life is changed, even if you have not seen the blind see, the day your life changes as a result of the gospel, you won't join that conversation again. Because nothing else has worked. Not therapies, psychology, nothing else. This kind of transformation only comes by the gospel. Hallelujah. So when your own life is changed, you will just drop off that conversation. Hallelujah. You say to the conductor of that bus, oh wow, praise God, just drop a light. Hallelujah. From that day. Somebody was arguing with you one day. They said, see. Oh, it's too late. It's too late. My life changed. Praise God. My life changed. I'm not talking small habits. I'm talking chronic habits. Hallelujah. Chronic habits. How do you explain that? Without any knowledge of, you know, therapy. Nothing. My life changed. Glory to God. My life changed. Hallelujah. While I was growing up, go and ask my parents. I was too problematic. I was in GSS 2. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, you know, my life changed. I was a young boy in GSS 2. And the kind of atrocities. You know, one day, as I was in my principal's office, they could not believe it was, you know, and I was younger, so I was I was obviously shorter than this. So they could not believe that it was this guy that was doing all this. Hallelujah. One day, my dad, because back then he didn't have a bank account, so he used to stock money in the house. So I went there, and I used to go to that place. I'll just steal money. And by the time I was coming to do accounts, I think over 60,000. I'm talking 1999. Over 60K had gone. Hallelujah. Spending money. And then he said, okay, now we found out you are the one. How do we recover this money? And then I took him to one game center. At that game center, I deposited 20K or so to be playing game. Praise God. So the man came out reluctantly. He said, my dad looked at him. Yeah. So you collected 20K from this boy. You didn't ask. In those days, 20K, you can buy the same PS. Went to deposit it. And I was also very good with the game, so I'll play games and I'll just, they used to call it champion. You play 29, you just pay 29, and you are beating people and you keep playing. So the money was even useless. So I'll collect money, we'll drink. So then my dad said, so game, is this the game you used to use this money to play till this, till remained, I think the guy bought 1,000 or 2,000, till remained 2,000. I said, we'll also buy Coke and buy Fanta, you know, and Shai, praise God. My dad looked at me like this. Now, it was so bad. That habit was so bad of taking things and all that. The only thing that helped, I don't know how, I never was doing that outside. But in-house was a regular thing. Hallelujah. And I knew my mom was so calculative. My mom, I mean, if my mom has change of 5 naira, I will know. She will account for it. My dad can forget money in his pocket. So I wasn't going to my mom's side at all. Just enter his room. It was a habit. It was so bad. I was in school, Mayflower. Ikenne, I will come from Ikenne to rob. Do you understand what I'm saying? In school, you just money is about to finish. Say, let me go home. Say, I have typhoid. And then I had an extra key to his house, to his room. We enter, pick money. One day, he just called me. He didn't do any investigation. He just called me because every time I came home, money was missing. So he just called me. Say, this guy. Hallelujah. See, they did many things. He couldn't stop. They were beating. There was nothing they did not do. That habit did not change. He couldn't have changed. Hallelujah. I cannot remember the day he stopped. I can't remember. All I know is I met the word of God. That was it. That was it. And that's just one example. So, see, forget it. Hallelujah. My life changed. It's a notable change. Glory to God. Is it Paul that you'll be arguing with? I was a murderer. I was there. I was busy. His life changed. So there's a transformation. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. If my child begins to steal something from the pot, steal money, I will not go the way of trying to restore him by self-effort, and I'll just start teaching the gospel. Praise God. I will also not think God is repaying me. Praise God. God is repaying you. The cycle goes on. Who will now break it? Praise God. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Hallelujah! Acts of Apostles 8, verse 5 to 8. Bible says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed, and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. There was great joy in that city. Legalism is so evil. So evil. This is what it robs men of. Hallelujah. Churches given to legalism, they don't produce mature believers. People will be struggling with the same things they've been struggling with. And nobody will be able to even talk, you know, because there's also the work of the flesh called gossip. Hallelujah. So if you tell your friend, before you know it, it's on the pulpit. Hallelujah. From the pulpit to the ends of the earth. everybody knows. So people are just coded, pretending to be what they are not. It's so bad. It's a form of godliness. It will rob you. Because the only way to walk in that fruit is to focus on the gospel. So when we fight and we resist and we contend against this adversary, this enemy of the gospel, it is because we know the result, the effect it has in the lives of men. Hallelujah. Some folks who are fighting over sound doctrine, they are battling all those things. And they don't know the problem is what they are believe, what they have come to believe. This thing you are fighting is the solution. Hallelujah. This thing you are fighting is the solution. Look at long suffering also. Long suffering is the character of God too. Romans in chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Let me begin to close now. Let me begin to close. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Hallelujah. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice all things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing all things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance in long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. God's long suffering. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Did you see that? Jesus will show all as what? A pattern. Example. Hallelujah. For those who are going to believe in Christ. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Hallelujah. Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Exodus 34, verse 6, right from the Old Testament, the new God to be long-suffering. Exodus 34, verse 6. Long-suffering is God's character, and this is what we see in the gospel, and as we behold it, we extend the same toward us. Praise God. Do you know why this is? Listen, when I say as we behold it, we extend the same. You know, the Spirit of God is in us. Hallelujah. So, that is why it is not you trying to go and do it. As you behold that example, you also have the ability to carry it out. Because God has put within you his Spirit. The very nature that makes God do the things he does is already in you. Hallelujah. So as I see that example, if it's an unbeliever, he will rebel against it. He will fight against it. So the spirit lost against the flesh against the spirit. He will fight against it. But a believer, as he looks at it, his tendency in Christ begins to come out. Hallelujah. Because he is of the Spirit. Exodus 34, verse 6. Hallelujah. Exodus 34, verse 6. Bible says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God merciful and gracious, long suffering and abounding in what? In goodness and truth. Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalm 86 and verse 15. Psalm 86, 15. Look at this. Hallelujah. Psalm 86 and verse 15. Bible says, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering. You are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in mercy and truth. Hallelujah. Kindness also is seen in the gospel. In fact, what God did to us in Christ is kindness. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. God is kind both to the thankful and to the unthankful. It is God's attitude, God's conduct, God's character. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness towards us in Christ. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, but when the kindness and love of our God and Savior towards man appeared, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he lavished upon us abundantly, that being justified by this, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Kindness. So we see it first in Christ as an example. Goodness, the same. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, long suffering, and forbearance? Romans 11, verse 22. Consider the goodness of God, goodness and severity of God, goodness towards you. Hallelujah. In the gospel, God's goodness towards you. Glory to God. Look at this one. Faithfulness. Romans in chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 to 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by me and Silvanus, is not yes and no. For all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes and amen. As God is faithful. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 to 24. May the Lord sanctify your whole body, soul, and spirit, and be preserved blameless until the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Faithfulness is God's character. So, we learn of that faithfulness. A man that will be faithful in Christ will first consider and understand God. His faithfulness. You see, that's what Paul said. He said, for as God is faithful, our word to you also is faithful. The same way Jesus is not yes and no, our conduct towards you also is not yes and no. So Jesus' faithfulness is what makes us faithful. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is faithful. Hallelujah. What about gentleness? Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and gentle and lowly in heart. Gentleness. By the way, gentleness and meekness are the same. Hallelujah. That's why Paul says at 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1, he says, I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Hallelujah. See that all these things are found in the gospel. What about self-control? I told you, you won't find a vivid place where self-control is used for God. But you can find it in every of these conducts. For instance, the word forbearance, Romans 2:4, Romans 3:25, the word forbearance means self-restraint. Hallelujah. Self-restraint. It's found in God. So the man that focuses on the gospel is the man that walks in the fruit of the Spirit. Now go back to Galatians chapter 5. So the moment Paul was done talking about the fruit of the Spirit, he gets to verse 24. It says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust thereof. Listen, we are not crucifying the flesh. We have already what? Crucified. The flesh there speaks of the old man. That is why the lust of the flesh today is of the world. It's not you trying to crucify your flesh. Let's begin to crucify the flesh. Let's begin. No. The flesh has been crucified. As you focus on the gospel, that reality dawns on you and you begin to live out your true identity in Christ. Amen. We are put off the old man and put on the new man. When you focus on that reality, the character of the new man begin to find expression. Hallelujah. That is the order of these things. So we have crucified the flesh. We are not trying to crucify it. The works of the flesh for the believer is a borrowed attitude. Borrowed behavior. You are conforming to the world. It is not yours. Yours is the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is the believer's conduct. The fruit of what? The Spirit. And it finds expression as the believer focuses on what? On the Spirit. The Spirit being the Christ. Being His gospel. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. I'll close with this. Galatians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. Paul now says, at verse 26 of Galatians 5. He now says, let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I showed you last week that people who focus on the law are always provoking themselves. It means to challenge yourself. Self-conceited means to be full of vainglory, outwitting one another. And I showed you an example in Luke 18. I'm not like other men. I pay my tithes. Yet, things are still tight. Praise God. That's an added, it's not in the version. Praise God. I give all that I do this. Just busy trying to impress others. That's not prayer. That's talking over the shoulders of God. God, I thank you that I do this, I do that. You're not thanking God. You're thanking yourself. Praise God. So, but that's what you find in the law, a competitive rivalry spirit. A desire for vainglory. People are not satisfied until other people know what they are doing. Amen. You give money, it's not satisfactory that the need has been met. They must talk about it. Hallelujah. Several years ago in this church, when we were still in the White Garden Church, people would come and spray daddy during the anniversary, like party. The moment they say, okay, let's let the founder come out for Thanksgiving, you come, we spray any money. Spray any money. So daddy hated it. So he canceled it. So he announced, he said, see, this thing is wrong. We are not doing it again. Nobody should come out and spray me money. Why they used to come out to spray money? You know, you count a lot of money after the anniversary. The day he stopped it, the next anniversary, I think maybe they saw 200 naira or so in the box. They now said, we'll do it properly. You can give the offering to the man, but put it in a... So, people did not give. Praise God. Because the real thing was that spraying. Amen. Yeah. Spray. Hallelujah. Then the person sees that you are taking all the glory. Spraying 100 naira notes. Ever me share to 200. Praise God. He takes 200 naira notes. He goes to spray. Another person says, leave them. Another person says, please, 500. Leave them. We are coming. Praise God. As it goes with 1,000 naira. Another person says, leave them. Comes with dollars. Hallelujah. He says, spray dollars. Another says, leave them. Pounds. Today, Bitcoin. Praise God. Just carry the system through your face. Praise God. Hallelujah. Vainglory. Men who cannot fast in peace. As a fast, you must know. Bible says they will disfigure their face. That's what Jesus said. Disfigure their face so that it will appear to men that they are fasting. Jesus says, when you fast, rub your face. Put oil. Look good. Hallelujah. And that you come close to us, you talk like this. Something comes from your mind. What's happening? I can't brush. You know I'm fasting. Praise God. People don't brush when they are fasting because they don't want to use water so that they don't mistakenly swallow. What's all that? Hallelujah. You are too religious. Everything is done for vainglory. And they have their rewards here. The moment you say, wow, emoji is too great. Oh. 21 days. Wow. You've had your reward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And something about the flesh, so deceitful, so trickery, is that the moment you tell people how much you are doing, you will reduce what you are doing. Because you did it for their applause. So the moment they give you their applause, there's no need. Hallelujah. You to drop. But if it was for Jesus' approval, that commendation, you know you will get it at the judgment of Christ. So you keep at it. Praise God. Paul now gets to chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. It's only in the gospel, in the grace of God, that men consider themselves. Amen. But it could have been me. I could have made the same mistake. Do you understand? You begin to reason out with the other person. And Bible says, those who are spiritual in a spirit of what? What is gentleness? A fruit of the spirit. So the spiritual here are spiritually mature people. They are the ones who can display that conduct. Restore the other person in a spirit of gentleness. Now this is contrary to what you find in the law. Paul is writing this to a church that has been given to legalism because see, they will be biting themselves. Nobody will bear with any other person. Your flaws will be something everybody will come and lynch you for. That is the spirit in the law. If a man is caught in a trespass, it is not for public display. Those who are spiritual, it is not a call for everybody. Those who are mature, they are the ones who can do that. Ah, choir master impregnated somebody. Hey! Hallelujah. The person committed abortion for choir master. Hey! You have to apologize to the church on Sunday. Which church? The old church. Ah, okay. Then guy comes out. Nonsense. Because I'm sorry, it will not happen again. I wish I'd be ready. Praise God. After the meeting like this, some sisters that have been eyeing him will just discover that brother has a weakness. Wow! I showed you a new weakness. From that day, they begin to go cook in his house. Hallelujah. Cook in his house. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Let's study together. Brother, I'm too late to go home this night. Can I pass the night? Amen. We share therein. Number two, not many folks can even forgive. And it's not even your concern in the first place. Not many people will see the person as they ought to see the person again. So it is not a call for everybody. It is for those who can see your weakness like this and still not judge you with it. And still not look at you from that perspective. Apologizing to the old church is of no use. Pastor is caught in something. He has to apologize and step down from the pulpit to everybody. Ah! Hallelujah. So imagine, members that were following him now become the judge. It's too bad. It is done secretly. That is not the spirit in the law. John chapter 8, they caught the woman in adultery, they brought her to the market square. It's bad. Open rebellion is different. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 20. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, open rebellion. In other words, you have brought it to the open yourself. If we caught you secretly, we address it secretly. 1 Corinthians 5, it was an open rebellion. A man has his father's wife, and he was coming to church, and they were doing, and everybody was puffed up. So, it's no longer secret. We have to check that kind of stuff. Somebody comes to this church, a guy, he says, Pastor, meet my damsel. I look at the damsel, I say, where is the damsel? I say, this is my damsel. I say, where is the damsel? This is my damsel. A guy. Hallelujah. Are you joking? Where is the damsel? This is my damsel. He has brought it to the open. Praise God. We have to sanction him. If we catch him in secret, practicing homosexual, we'll restore him. He won't do it secretly. Praise God. When it comes to church, he says, everybody meet my damsel. That is a guy. We are going to rebuke him openly. Hallelujah. We're going to rebuke him what? Openly. So, that is different from catching somebody in a trespass secretly. If it is a secret thing, a private thing, we can't do it privately. And it's not for everybody. It is for those who are spiritually mature. Hallelujah. They do it in a spirit of gentleness. The word restore also is not a one-time thing. Be restored. Be restored. No, look at you. Be restored. You are restored from today. Hallelujah. No. It's the word katatizo, which means to repair. It's a process of training. It means to make perfect. So it is what only spiritually mature people can do. It is not, don't do it again. It is, oh yeah, come, let's pray 2 hours. I teach you God's word consistently. We are praying together. I restore you through a process of training. Hallelujah. That is not found in the law. It will never be found in the law. It's one of the problems and the challenges faced in a legalistic setting. Hallelujah. It is so bad, people become enemies of men that need their help. Somebody falls into sin, and then the old church becomes his enemy. It's too bad. Nobody is thinking of how to restore. They make it an affair for everybody. Everybody is having an opinion. And in the law, you have hypocritical judgments. Look at it now. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Eh? O ti gbo ruko mi o. Praise God. Everybody heard his name. Is your name he who is without sin? Or he who has sin? For everybody, all of them, hypocrites. Hallelujah. So when you make it a judgment, everybody can just be talking something, and the person that has done worse also comes to say, ah, oh my God, oh my, you know, it's funny. Hey. Let those who are spiritual, mature men, handle the matter. It's so funny. Each time, it happens spontaneously. Each time somebody says, Pastor, this happened to me. I remember a guy that just told me about, he began to sleep with his girlfriend, they were not married, and the first thing I said was, sorry. And the guy, I'm sorry, you must have been suffering, praise God. It was the first thing that came from my mind. I said, wow, sorry. And the guy was like, sorry. yes, sorry. Like, real sorry. So let's start walking. Let's start working. Let's start working now. Oh yeah, God's word, prayer. Because I felt pity for him. Hallelujah. I felt pity. Not, girlfriend. Oh, disappoint me, God. Oh, disappoint me, God. Praise God. That's hypocrisy. Consider yourself also. Lest you be tempted. That's when people are saying, oh, disappoint me, God. Eventually disappointed the whole church. Hallelujah. The man himself disappointed everybody. Because he did not consider himself. He became proud. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift your hands, give him praise. Continue from here next week. Give him praise. Thank him. Studies in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is Jesus' conduct and example to us. Palandos, paradia, balakata. Telamon brought us the whole Fredis, Kopayel, Lekutu, Velatidia. Yes! It is God's own example shown us in Christ. It is as we get engulfed and overwhelmed by this fact that we begin to extend the same to others. Hallelujah. Don't look away from Jesus. Keep your eyes ever on him. Oh, Clara Gabashkatalia de la Blogobolo, she became a little Italian talent of this. We give all the glory to the Lord, and we give all the glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Lord, we give all the glory, we give all the glory to the Lord. We give all the glory, we give all the glory to the Lord. Glory, glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. We give all the glory. We give all the glory. Oh, to the Lord. We give all the glory.
We give all the glory.
Hallelujah.
To the Lord.
Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Oh, Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Meeting is closed.